Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Mega Football Friday edition. Now, before you bet, Aaron live right here on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're on YouTube, smash that like and that subscribe button right down there. And if you are down, we are here to bring you up today. And if you are up, we're here to make you higher. High on life, not on drugs. Although producer Mick was bragging about a new water bomb that he's getting for Christmas. So good for producer Mick there. A great big show planned for you guys today. It is a light weekend, obviously, in college football, but there is still a lot to cover. Brad Powers will be by in a matter of seconds to look at a couple games this weekend and also a couple best bets for bowl season. Going to get his opinion on Bill Belichick to North Carolina here as well. It is a Friday show, so we will have our usual avalanche of picks for the National Football League. 9 total for the Sunday games, a teaser, spreads, totals, and props. And then in the third segment of the show, we will be covering the National Basketball Association, where my picks went 0-2 last night. So I will look to bounce back. Thankfully, though, I went 2-0 on Thursday night football. So hopefully some winning results on the show here today. If you guys want to participate on the show, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat. Let us know what you like this weekend in sports. Tommy Finn, me and Joe have beef. Powers and Jingles are the goats. So I don't know what Tommy Finn is referring to about the beef we might have. I don't have many beefs with many people in life, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe Tommy can elaborate on that. Okay, let's talk some college football. And if we're talking college football, we are doing it with our man down there in Las Vegas, sunny Las Vegas. Brad, how you doing today?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Brad, so we got to ask you about the story of the week here in college football. Bill Belichick is the new coach here at North Carolina. Now, when they said he was interviewing with them last week, I just, you know, I didn't take it very seriously. I thought it was something he was maybe doing to pass the time, but we all see the press conference yesterday. He's the head coach at North Carolina. Your thoughts, your take on this situation?
I'm pretty pessimistic about the chances of it succeeding, short-term and long-term. I'd like to see how he's going to fill out his staff, some of the early staff rumors out there and announced I'm not a fan of, so we'll see. I also like to see how he handles the portal because the roster is going to take a hell of a hit. But yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I just usually go opposite. They just fired a 73-year-old coach who's been a long-term winner, obviously, in Mack Brown. And they turn you go completely opposite with your next change. Usually, you don't hire a 72-year-old guy that has no college experience. So I know Bill Belichick's the GOAT, X's and O's on the defensive side, great. But in college, you need players. And I'm anxious to see how many recruiters he puts on the staff because that's everything in today's day and age.
So what are you hearing about the coaching staff? Is it a getting the band back together situation with Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels and the fellas or what?
That's what the rumors are. Obviously, his son would play a critical role. Yes. His son did get some college experience as a defensive coordinator at Washington this year. I wasn't overwhelmed with their performance this year on the defensive side, so we'll see how that works out. The GM is Michael Lombardi, who runs around in our circles for the last few years. He's been on a gambling show for the last 5 years. Yeah. He doesn't have much experience at the college level. I mean, the win total 7.5. It's already posted under for me.
Yeah, some of these guys are a little long in the tooth, and we were discussing this on the show yesterday. It's kind of, you can see the parallels with Deion Sanders, whereas people are tuning into the teams that Deion is coaching for the head coach. Usually that's not something you see a lot in sports, whether it be college or the NFL, but I think people will be interested to
Great for college football. What I think it's going to be, but I mean, it's got more people talking about college football. So in that regard, I love it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if it's going to work out though. Okay, so let's talk about some action. We have two games going on here this weekend. Of course, a big one, Navy Army. Now, you were on the show on Monday and you took under 40 for the total for the game. A little bit of movement here. It's down to 39. Army's favored by 6.5. Would you still be comfortable with the under, with the number moving by a single point? And thoughts on the spread here?
Yeah, I'd still be comfortable at under 39. And let me give you some reasons why. You look at the last 10 meetings, all 10 have scored a total of 38 points or lower in this series. There was a long streak in this series of the under cashing every year, 16 straight. Last 2 years, what's happened? Went over one time because of double overtime, put it over the last score in the second overtime, put the game over the total. And then last year's total on the game, consensus total was 28. And it got to 28 on the last play of the game because Army took a safety. So I just think to yourself, if this was a streak still going on, like it should be, of 18 straight unders, what would this total be? I mean, no one would be betting the over. It'd probably be 36 or 37. So I don't think we're paying that premium anymore on an Army-Navy total. So under for me. Obviously, both teams run clock, run the option. They know how to defend the option as far as the opposing defenses. And I know Army's quarterback play is the best they've had in quite some time. And Navy's quarterback is getting healthy. But it just, to me, I'm okay playing the trend here. I'm not a trends guy, but I'm going under 39. So comfortable with at the current number. Lean on the side. Navy's, I like the spot. Navy's only played one game the last 3 weeks. So everything's been building towards this game. Meanwhile, I mean, Army had a very high profile game against Notre Dame. Then they played a pretty quality bowl opponent in UTSA. Last week, they had the American Championship game against Tulane. So, I mean, there's a lot of body blows for Army the last 3 weeks compared to Navy.
Okay, on a normal week, I wouldn't be asking you about South Alabama versus Western Michigan, but here we have it as a standalone game on Saturday night. Western Michigan is an 8-point dog. Total on the high end here of 57.5. Any thoughts, any leans for that matchup?
Yeah, the reason I didn't really mention is because we got, like a lot of these bowl games, more questions than answers, and the major questions are on the South Alabama side, particularly a quarterback. Gio Lopez is their quarterback. He got banged up in the regular season finale at the end of the game, and there's been question marks of whether he won't play or will play. Right now, I think it's truly 50-50. If he does play, this is cheap. It should be 10.5. If he doesn't play, then I think we're going down to 6 or so. So it's right in between. Right now, inclination is I think he's going to play. So I'm going to lean South Alabama here. But they're also missing their top rusher. Western Michigan's missing their top tight end, a couple guys on the defensive line. So it'll be a war of attrition. I'll trust the more proven commodity, the team from the better conference. I'll lean with South Alabama here. But we're talking pizza bet. And I'm not talking the family of four, bring them out to dinner. I'm talking the frozen Totino's variety here if you got to make a bet on the game.
Domino's, baby, $6.99. For a medium pepperoni. Okay, let's try to get ahead of a little bit of this line movement here for bowl season. You have a couple best bets to give out, one for this upcoming Wednesday and one for about 2 weeks from now on December 28th. But as we know, you don't want to be waiting to the day of the game. You can often get a better number if you think you have a bit of an edge. So let's start with the Art of Sport LA Bowl hosted by Gronk. California taking on UNLV. This is going down next Wednesday, a total of 50.5, and you like the under.
Yeah, I like the under for a variety of reasons. Number one, California's quarterback just got announced out. The side moved 2.5 points. The total only moved one. A lot of times there's not enough correlation between the two. So I think they're compromised, Cal, on offense, and their offensive coordinator won't be calling plays for the game. He got fired, so they'll have a backup play caller. On UNLV's side, obviously their head coach is gone. He's more of a defensive mind. The expectation was the OC was going to stay on and call plays. And I'm hearing in Las Vegas, I'm hearing that he's not going to be calling plays. So that greatly impacts him. He's one of the best young offensive coordinators in college football. So two new play callers. The defense, the top player on UNLV's defense is going to stick around. So that's a positive for the under. Cal's head coach is more of a defensive-oriented coach. And he just A, B, C, D all says under here. The total hasn't moved that much yet. So under 50.5 for me.
Okay, next up, this will be a game of interest in about 2 weeks, December 28th. It is the Valero Alamo Bowl. BYU is a 3-point dog versus Colorado, and you like the underdog in this matchup.
I do like BYU +3. This line is saying that Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are playing for Colorado, and that's what Coach Prime has said. They're going to play. I think there's a greater than 0% chance that they don't play in the game. And I think there's even a better chance that, okay, they'll play, but maybe not for the full game. So if you take those two into consideration, they should not be laying a full 3 here against the BYU team. And Colorado got fortunate this year. You thought preseason schedule-wise, oh, my God, they got to play Utah and Oklahoma State and the preseason favorites in the Big 12. Well, those two were the most disappointing teams, and they avoided Arizona State. They avoided Iowa State. So I think a sneaky, relatively weak strength of schedule. All that adds into BYU, who I think will be motivated here in this one. BYU +3 for me.
Be very interesting to see what the number is for that one on game day. Okay, Brad, before you go, I love the sponsors for bowl seasons. There's some really strong ones. My personal favorite, I love the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, Louisville and Washington getting after a great logo, obviously incorporating Tony the Tiger of Frosted Flakes cereal. But some of them are getting very NASCAR-like. So what is the silliest sponsor for a bowl this season?
Snoop Dogg, Arizona Bowl. Look forward to it. I don't know if there'll be some recreational activities there involved in the game, but at least maybe we'll get a Snoop Dogg performance before the game. Maybe some classic phrases there. But Snoop Dogg, Arizona Bowl is probably my favorite. I will say the last couple of years, the two that have done it the best as far as promotion and really leaning into what their products are and incorporating it into the bowl game itself. The Duke's Mayo Bowl has done a good job, and the Pop-Tarts Bowl has really done a good job making it fun, and that's what bowl games should be.
So the official name of the Snoop Dogg one, I have it up, bowlseason.com has them all listed. It is the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop.
That's, yeah, there you go. That should be a good one.
That's a lot of text to fit into a graphic or a logo. Okay, so Brad, you're going to be with us every single Monday and every single Friday throughout bowl season. So that means, of course, you're going to be with us this upcoming Monday. We have a bunch of bowl games that we'll be getting into Monday through Thursday next week. So until then, enjoy, I guess, what will be a light weekend of betting for you here this weekend. And we'll catch you on Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me as always, Joe.
Yes, sir. All right. The man right there down in Las Vegas. Bowl season going to be an absolute blast. Tommy Finn clarifying things up here in the live chat. I'm just playing, Joe. I'm a loyal listener of the show. I haven't missed a Powers appearance all year. Hey, the people come to watch Brad Power. Shout out, Tommy. No beefs at all. Okay. My guy who's about to join me had a beef with the Thursday night football game last night. Let's bring him in here. Jingles.
What a game.
It's rare that I'll turn a game off. I didn't turn the game off last night. I fell asleep towards probably the end of the third quarter. I mean, a field goal fest in the rain and the quarterbacks. That's one of the ugliest games we'll get all season. But both my bets hit. That Kittle one, okay. Those longest reception, when those hit, it is absolutely electric because it's just like, bam, just like it's not something that slowly accumulates over the course of a game, and the Rams ended up covering the spread. I told you guys, you cannot trust the 49ers. They are absolutely shot. Debo Samuel, that drop he had last night, that's going to be one of the worst drops of the entire season, but not a pleasurable experience, the game for you last night, eh?
No, I was losing money on hockey too, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to take my mind off hockey and jump over to the football game, and there were nine drives. The beginning of the third, the ninth drive there between the first and second quarter. In the first quarter, that was the worst first quarter and the longest first quarter that I have absolutely seen in all of football. And it's just, I don't know, losing money sucks. Losing money sucks. So therein lies the question, Joe. Would you rather just lose money knowing that you're going to lose money on a bet that you placed and you don't have any ROI entertainment on it? Or would you rather sweat through something and then just miss out on like a last second something at the end?
I like knowing that my analysis was on for, you know, or I was on to something. And sometimes you always lose games where, you know, it's a coin flip situation. If this would have happened at the end, if the kicker didn't miss that kick, if the guy didn't fumble the ball on the goal line in the second quarter, it would have hit.
Yeah.
So then at least, you know, that there's not much off with your process. Now, sometimes I took the under in the Bills-Rams game last week where they combined for what, like 86 points or something. And that was just way off. So I don't know. Sometimes if it's a shitty game, if you have to sit through a shitty game and sweat it out and then you lose, that's kind of awful. But a lot of people would have been on the under last night and they would have loved that. I love when I am on the under and it's punt, 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 yeah. Field goal attempt.
So, get this. Same mentality of like a pitching under in baseball where you're just expecting, you're just praying for defense, betting on defense, and love to see the punt units come out. But it was an ugly one. But, I mean, I'd rather lose money on the Thursday night game than get beat up on the Sunday night game because you wake up and it's Friday as opposed to Monday.
Chris McCulley, I didn't know he was a Penguins fan. I'm a Penguins fan too. He said, my Pens outscored the 49ers last night. Oh. Painful. Hey, that wasn't painful for me. 9-2 Penguins, I believe, over the Canadiens du Montréal. Penguins getting back into the mix here, back into playoff contention a little bit. Oh, in the NHL, long way to go. Okay, that's enough hockey talk for today. Let's get into some NFL picks. We got a bunch of them. I'm going to get a start here with a six-point teaser. I think a beautiful spot to pair the Washington Commanders and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Take the Commanders down to a point and a half. Take the Steelers up to plus 11 and a half crossing. A lot of key numbers here for both squads. You know, basic teaser strategy. You don't want to be going through zero. We bring the Commanders through the 7 and the 3. We bring the Steelers up through the 6, the 7, the 9, and the 10. Beautiful spot here. Check out Washington. They've been beating the crap out of bad teams all season long, dropping a lot of points on bad teams. 42 versus Tennessee. Last time we saw them. Take that, Cliff Kingsbury haters. 27 versus the Giants, 40 versus the Panthers, 34 versus the Browns, 38 versus the Bengals. You get it. Indoor environment, the Saints defense that ranks 31st in yards per play allowed at home. Derek Carr is out. Kamara is questionable. I think Washington should really be able to dominate the time of possession. I do like them to go over their team total of 25 and a half points as well. The second leg of this. Hey, man, the Steelers as an underdog. They are on a 7-0, not just against the spread, straight up stretch here as an underdog in the regular season. Go back even further, 14-4, straight up, not just against the spread, in their last 18 games as an underdog in the regular season. They haven't lost by more than 5 points all season, and I do not like the vibes with the Philadelphia Eagles. A.J. Brown calling out the pass attack, very negative last week after the game against the Panthers that they won, and he's still complaining. Don't you think a smart, defensive-minded head coach like Mike Tomlin might try to exploit this little rift the Eagles are having just a little bit? So, yeah, at the very least, I do think the Steelers will keep that one close, maybe even win outright, but I think a beautiful spot for a six-pointer. On Sunday, Jingles, prop for you, a guy that I like who hit for me on Monday night. Chase Brown, you're betting him in a little bit of a different way, though.
Yeah, longest reception. Let's go that market here versus Tennessee. Good run defense. But what he's done recently over his last four games, he's gone over this in four straight games. His usage in the last four games as a receiver has been insane. 29 targets, 23 receptions. That is massive. Games of 52, 57, 30, and 65 yards receiving. He gets all the running back shares you mentioned last week in the game versus Dallas. Zach Taylor's been talking him up again, probably showing in the sense that this volume is more repeatable than it is an outlier in this spot. Travis Etienne versus Tennessee last week, 21-yard reception. We saw Joe Mixon with a 20-yard reception week before. Tennessee can give this up, and we're talking might be some possible rain, which could only benefit the shorter passing game. Give me that. And we know that Cincinnati, I mean, they're a favorite, but in many cases, they might be chasing at some point in this game. So he's looked great. I mean, they haven't used him all year, so he's not really going to wear down. So Brown, I mean, the Canadian, he's fast. I just love the spot.
Yes. Some Canadian content on the show. A little hockey, a little Chase Brown. And I believe you're going to have another Canadian for one of your prop picks here. Okay, so next up, a bit of an ugly-looking game here, Cowboys-Panthers. I think a beautiful-looking betting opportunity, though, to take the first half over. Going back to my roots with some first half bets on the show today. Love this spot, guys. So it's at 21.5. That's pretty low for a first half total. Panthers games are 11-1-1 to the first half over this season. This is pretty much a big fat fade of these defenses. These defenses rank 30th and 32nd in first half points allowed. They've combined to allow over 30 points in the first half of their games here this season. Each defense is awful in a lot of areas, a lot of red flags here. They're both near the bottom of the league in passing defense, in the red zone. The Panthers are at the very bottom of the league in third down defense as well. So I think in the first half of the game, the teams will be able to go over 21.5 points. You have a prop for this game, Canadian content. Hubbard, a guy you
finally,
like a lot.
I finally get a chance to bet Carolina as a favorite and get on the Chuba K carries that we've played multiple times this year because he got the ball consistently as a dog. And now they're kind of playing competitively. And now they're a favorite for the first time in 33 games. That's 2+ years of not being a favorite. Not this week versus Dallas. Let's go over 18.5 carries. I mean, everything's setting up really nice in this spot. We see the awful injury to Jonathan Brooks. Sanders is out. The other backup running back, Blackshear, has been limited. So it's going to be another Chuba game where he gets probably 85% of the running back opportunities versus a defense that gives up the, what, I think it's like the third most rush attempts per game at 29.5. So if they're giving up 30 rush attempts per game and we got someone like Hubbard who's, I don't know, going to take 85%, that works well. The projection from the blitz is 22.8, making this one of the better projection plays on the day.
Quick note from Kevin in the live chat. Steelers are 0-10 on the road in Philly. They last won in Philadelphia in 1965. I don't care if they lose. Keep it inside of 11.5. That's all I care about, baby. Okay, another first half bet. And I don't just like this bet. I absolutely love it. Game of the week. We're off to Detroit where the Bills are in town. I like the Lions in the first half. You can make a great case for them full game here as well. But this has been a money spot for them all season long. They are a first half buzzsaw, especially at home. They're 11-2 ATS in the first half of the season. Offense getting off to great starts at home, where they average a league high 19 points per game. And this is a perfect match because the Bills defense gets off to a lot of rough starts on the road. They allow an average of 15 points in the first half on the road. That's 28th in the NFL. And the game situation for the Lions is absolutely beautiful. Extra rest are coming off that Thursday night football game last week against the Packers. This is their third straight game at home as well. Meanwhile, a little bit of chaos here for the Bills. They had the snow game versus San Francisco on Sunday Night Football. They fly out to Los Angeles. They have that shootout that they lose versus the Rams. They go back home to Buffalo. They go down to Detroit for this one. So the game situation is beautiful here for the Lions. So I think they get off to a better start. And I do think that they will be leading at halftime. Okay, so from a beautiful game to Tommy DeVito. I will leave it at that. I'll let you take it from here.
Just trying to find any possible way to fade the Giants in this spot. And I mean, they have a first half team total of 6.5. They have a team total of the full game that's at 13.5. I get it. Both are actually pretty good sides, but I think I'm going to go DeVito under 0.5 passing TDs at +115. Probably play this to about -110, -115. The last time that this Giants offense had a passing touchdown was, I believe, versus Washington before they went to Germany. Jones, DeVito, Locke, they've all played between then, and they've all failed to throw for a passing touchdown in consecutive weeks times four. I mean, this is a team that their implied total for the game is 13.5. You got Drew Locke as an emergency quarterback right now. You got Tim Boyle as the backup. Tommy DeVito might not finish this game. And if we can get a half, that would be fantastic. Are you worried about garbage time? Well, don't be, because in the other game that Tommy DeVito played, they were trailing 23-0 at halftime, and they managed a late fourth quarter one-yard rushing touchdown. It's just, there's just nothing good about this offense, and I think this is the best way to fade it in week 15.
Giants averaging 10 points per game at home.
Absolutely. I didn't even get to the home numbers too. At MetLife, it's insane what they've done.
They got to start over a head coach. This is just a disgrace. We'll save that conversation for Monday. Maybe. Okay, my favorite prop bet of the day on Sunday. I might have a few more that I drop on Twitter over the weekend, but I like David Montgomery to go over his receiving yard total of 15.5. He's absolutely on fire in this category. 20 or more receiving yards in 6 straight games for him. This is a man with a very high ceiling when it comes to receiving yards. 30-plus receiving yards on 6 occasions already this season. And to bring it all together, one of the reasons that I love this bet is because this is a major weakness for the Buffalo Bills. They have allowed the third most receiving yards to running backs this season, an average of 44.5. should be plenty of meat on the bone for both Montgomery and Gibbs. I'll go with Montgomery because he is hot in this spot. Okay, two for you. Another way to fade the Saints. We do not like the Saints here this weekend, and you have a very interesting way to fade them. Break this one down.
First half team total. Taking a page out of your book, going first half. Let's go team total under 9.5. I mean, you're on your third string quarterback. That's bad enough. Okay, it's his first start, and he's facing the team in Washington off the bye. Jake Haener, 14 for 29 in his career, 7 games, sub 50% completion percentage. That's bad. And you kind of are expecting things to be very conservative with this offense right out of the gates in their scripted plays. Why? Because they don't have anybody on offense who can do anything. Taysom Hill's out, Chris Olave, Raheem Shaheed, and Bob Means. They're all out. And guess what? Kamara and Juwan Johnson are both questionable. Like, his number one passing option could be Foster Moreau in this game and Cedric Wilson. It's so bad in this situation. And you just expect Washington to just keep running the ball. Now that Brian Robinson's had another week, he's been in and out of the lineup, but he's been fantastic when he's in. They could just suck that clock all game, to take another page out of your book. But
let's go.
I know, but like, it's just that this would be an offense that could have zero rhythm in the first half of this game for sure.
Okay, let's wrap things up here with, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that Jameis Winston is the most volatile player in the history of the NFL. Any given day, he can produce 5 touchdowns. The issue is that at least one of them is going to the other team here, right? You have a bet for him on Sunday, one of the finest players in the NFL too. What do you like for Jameis?
Wouldn't it be so cool if he went in there and just finally just destroyed Kansas City and a team that needs to just get beat up in week? But like, Kansas City probably needs like a good beat up game. I mean, they got the Buffalo game, but everybody wants to see it, including myself. But this number, I don't get it. Like, this should be a one that everybody goes every week. Oh, Jameis Winston's playing. Let's go get his pass attempts, and you go get it. And it's a price that you probably have to pay a tax on as a recreational bettor or public bettor. But it doesn't move much. I don't get this. He's 4-1 to the over in all of his starts. He's had 40-plus pass attempts, not just over. He's got 40-plus in four of his 5 games. The only game he hasn't gone over was the Pittsburgh game in the second half that snowed. Wasn't, I'll say, maybe outside of the Buffalo game, the most beautiful game to watch of the year, but it wasn't the best passing conditions ever. And this sets up well for him versus Kansas City's good run defense and a 4-point home dog. And the thing that got me about it was because I was on Nick Chubb running last week, and I thought, absolutely, after his, what was it, 3 interceptions, 2 pick sixes, might have been 4. After that game, I thought, okay, for sure Stefanski's going to want to run the ball. Let's go. No, they first down passing again. Like, they're just going to roll with it. Maybe a little worried that they may maybe make a quarterback change, but let's say he sticks in. I want to see him beat Kansas City. And this is something that I'd play to 40. And I think you can get like the 40 attempts, 300 yards and 2 TDs for like plus 900. And that's all in the realm of Jameis Winston props for sure.
Yeah, everyone's turning on the Kansas City Chiefs, including, I'm sick of them. I don't want to see them do the thing where, you know, they sleepwalk through the regular season, then they, you know, they turn back into themselves here in the playoffs. I do not want to do another Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl. I'm not interested in Kelce and Taylor Swift, good for them, and Mahomes' wife and brother in the mix, and Andy Reid, what a great guy. Exhaustion has hit with the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's get the
Maybe
Buffalo Bills
one other
in.
Player, Joe. One other player in all of football who could shout at their coach in the middle of the Super Bowl as aggressively as Travis Kelce did last year and it not even be a talking point later.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was aggressive. That was maybe the most aggressive thing I've seen on the sidelines between player and coach.
Yeah, I've had it with the Chiefs. They'll get back on track at some point here. They still only have one loss this season, though, right?
Damn. Like, Buffalo.
They're ridiculous. All right, buddy. We will leave it at that. You will, of course, be with us again on Monday. We have a Monday night football doubleheader. The games aren't the best. I've been digging into them, though. Some pretty good looking betting spots in these ones. So hopefully we don't have a lot of line movement based on what I like off the bat here. So best of luck with all your bets in the NFL and the NHL over the weekend. And we'll catch you on Monday.
All right. Friday in the books. Let's go. Happy to be here. See you later, Joe. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Indeed. JPC 4th, his bro should be in jail. That's in reference to Patrick Mahomes' idiot brother. He's got a lot of weird people in his life, doesn't he? His wife's not as bad as people make her out to be, though. Okay, let's shift gears to the NBA. We're talking it. John Mettler. John, 0-2 in the NBA last night, looking to bounce back. I was, throwing myself a little parade, got over the 10-unit mark for the season, got slapped last night. The Kings, I don't know. I probably should have just taken the under on that one. I thought that they cannot be trusted. Meanwhile, I had the over in the Pistons-Celtics game. That game, I think they only had 42 points in the first quarter. Now, they made a push. I think they got to 222 combined. I had it at, 226 and a half or something like that. But it wasn't to be. Any thoughts on what we saw out of the NBA there last night?
My assist props have been terrible all week. And I was, Terry Rozier had none. And then I was watching Domantas Sabonis and he had four and I needed six. And like beginning of the fourth quarter, they took one away and he went down to three. And I was like, yeah, that sums up the week. We're going to bet here. I'm not even going to watch the end of this fourth quarter. So the assist props, I don't think have I hit an assist prop all week? I know I hit Lou Dort and Keegan Murray points on here on this show, but I don't think I've hit an assist prop. So hopefully we got the right guys today.
Okay. So John, we didn't plan this. I think there's seven, eight games on the board tonight, and we have five picks between the two of us, and four of them are for the Pacers and 76ers game. Hey, it is what it is here. So we have three props. I'm on the total. Why don't you get us started with that prop for Paul George?
Yeah, I went Paul George. So I bet this over 16.5 points minus 115. It's moved to 17.5. It's moved pretty aggressively here. The best price now is 17.5, but minus, I think, 107 minus 108 is what I'm seeing. I just don't think they know really how to price. You haven't really seen it, right? You haven't seen Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, Paul George. I don't think they know how to price the three of them playing together. And like the couple of games here that Paul George has played with them, the last time he just had a bad shooting performance, so he went under. And the other time he left about 17 minutes, I think he only had 2 points. So like the games he has played with Embiid, he's been going under, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily because they can't play together or something like that. So I think it just came out with an awkward price and you're kind of seeing it get corrected right now. And when you look at the matchup specifically to the Pacers, they're the 76ers, the Pacers, I think Nembhard's back. So he'll be on Tyrese Maxey. That's their best defender. But in terms of a second wing defender, Benedict Mathurin, he doesn't guard. Tyrese Halliburton, he doesn't guard. So I think Paul George should have an advantage on that end of the floor. And again, just a small narrative thing, he's playing the Pacers. I think if you can get an NBA player in a spot where they might be slightly more motivated as someone who spent a lot of years playing for the Pacers, I went with Paul George here, over.
Yeah, these 76ers games are a little tricky to handicap based on, guys, I like to dig into a lot of stats and stuff like that. And they've had obviously significant players in and out of the lineup all season. So my pick on the total, I'm going to go with the over 227.5. And a lot of this is based on trends in the history, the recent history we've seen between these teams. So they have a history of absolutely obliterating this number of 227.5 against each other. So seven straight overs between these teams. And six of these games saw them combine for 255 or more points, flying over this number. Just no defense whatsoever when these teams have gotten together over the past couple of seasons. Look at the Pacers' defense when they go on the road. They get absolutely cooked. 26 in points allowed at 119.1. The three-point defense is just god-awful. And this pattern of high-scoring games when the Pacers go on the road as well. Six of their last seven games have gotten into the 230s. Average combined score of 237.8 over their last 11 road games. So I think we're going to see a lot of scoring in this one, over 227.5. Two more to go for Pacers Sixers. Some very well-rounded coverage for this game. Not so much the other games. Siakam, what do you like for him tonight?
It's a good thing you have the over on the game total here because we're going over assist points. So I'm Pascal Siakam over 2.5 assists. He's gone under this number four straight. It's dropped it from 3.5 down to 2.5. And it's increased juice now, but it's not high enough by any means when you're looking at the projections. Even at 3.5, Siakam's kind of a guy you need to look at in terms of his over and stuff. Against the 76ers, obviously the Pacers like to push the ball. They can do it with Siakam and transition. He's a very good transition player. It's why they traded for him. And I think there's going to be an emphasis from like a strategy standpoint to do that, which is good for your overplay as well on the game total, because you want to beat Embiid down the floor. You want to make Embiid run. You don't want to face his rim protection. And I think you're going to see Siakam push the ball right off the rebound, and that could start to get him some potential assists. And then just even in the half court, when they do get stuck in the half court, I think you're going to see like a smaller defender on him, and they're going to need to kind of help, and he's kind of going to be a problem for them. So I think that will also generate potential assists. So 2.5, I think that's too low for Siakam in this matchup. So give me the over.
Okay, tonight I will be backing my favorite player. I have nothing but good things to say about Joel Embiid, and I will be taking him to go over his point total of 29.5. So I talked about all the high-scoring games between these teams over the past couple seasons. Well, Embiid has been doing a lot of that scoring. He absolutely owns the Pacers, 31 or more points in 5 straight against them and in 10 of the last 12. Now, small sample sizes to work off of here with Joel Embiid, obviously, but he did look like his normal self in his return to action on Sunday. He had 31 points in 33 minutes, a ridiculous shot volume in that game against the Bulls. He had 28 shot attempts. I think maybe that's a sign that they're looking to get him going right off the bat here, and I think we could see the same tonight. This is just his second home game of the season, his first in over a month, and many paths to scoring here for Embiid in this one. Expect to see him on the free throw line a lot. The Pacers allow a lot of free throws and dominance in the paint. This is one of the worst interior defenses in the National Basketball Association. Let's go, my favorite player, Joel Embiid. Okay, now time for a non-Pacers Sixers pick. A man by the name of Kevin Durant, who's back in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, he's been not too kind to us and with the assist prop. And I was joking maybe a week ago when he got injured, I'm like, when he comes back, I'm betting it again. And they gave us 3.5 plus 133. So we are absolutely betting it again. Even last time. So what that game he got injured in the first half, he played 16 minutes. He had 2 assists. We had over 2.5. So the bet loss, it goes under. He had 7 potential assists in that first half. Like that, he easily could have went over the number just in the first half. He's playing the Jazz. So I took his prop. I adjusted his minutes down because he is coming back from the ankle injury. I mean, once again, both injuries he's had, he's come back from, they've come off of long breaks. So it's not like, you know, they just played a day ago and he's been, who knows if he's ramping up. Like, he's had time to practice. They've probably been scrimmaging. Anyways, I did drop his minutes projection and it still has a big edge to the over. So I just, how do we not play this? He's playing the Jazz, and like, who on the Jazz is going to guard him? I mean, John Collins. There's not really a defender on the Jazz. I just don't think they can slow him down. I don't think they can slow him down without help. And if they're helping, that would give assists. And even if like Markkanen or Kessler have to push up on him, he doesn't get many assists to his centers because they're just not, they don't really have like a lob threat. But I think Oso Iguodara could be a guy who helps him convert those potential assists specifically against the Jazz, the pick and roll tonight. So I went Kevin Durant over 3.5 assists, big plus money.
Okay, John, before we wrap things up, NBA Cup continues. It looks like tomorrow the teams are off to Las Vegas. When does the championship game for that get played? Is that
Tuesday?
Tuesday. Who are you going to take to win the whole thing?
So I've been doing this Futures Friday parlay thing, and the last two I put together, I actually used the Bucks 10-1 on the one 2 weeks ago. I used the Thunder just under 3-1 on the one I did last week. So I have a team on either side of the bracket. I'm hoping to get a green check mark on one of those futures parlays, and those futures parlays, you really just need to hit one and it'll pay for the whole season and more. So people weren't a fan when I put the Bucks in 2 weeks ago at 10-1. And that one looks obviously a lot better, especially with the Atlanta Hawks. I don't know that the Atlanta Hawks, like you're saying, they're giant killers. I'm almost a little more nervous that they're playing the Hawks, but I mean, mathematically it's a better matchup than the Knicks. So I have pretty high hopes to get a green check mark here. I'm hoping it's Thunder Bucks and I just don't even have to sweat it.
Yeah, right now, these aren't official picks by any means. I would lean the Bucks -3.5. You know, we talked about them turning a corner. They did lose to the Hawks last time played about a week ago. But the Hawks go from being an 8-point dog versus the Celtics to 3.5 here. I think the Bucks can take care of business in that one. Look for Giannis to have a big game. This is the first time he's been on like a big stage, if you want to call it that, in a little while. And I think the total's too low. I've been betting the under in quite a few Rockets games here. But is that 212.5 versus the Thunder? I'd probably lean towards the over there. But nothing official yet. I'll have to dig into those ones a little bit more. So we'll wrap things up here, John. Do we have a best bet graphic recap? To recap, the picks for the NFL. If you missed that segment off the top of the show, 6-point teaser. I think a beautiful one this weekend, pairing the Commanders and the Steelers. Sneaky bet here, Cowboys, Panthers, first half over 21.5. Panthers games are 11-1-1 to the first half over this season. Lions, first half, minus 1.5. And my favorite prop of the weekend in the NFL is Montgomery to go over 15.5 receiving yards. Jingles went with 5. Chase Brown, over 13.5 for his longest reception. Hubbard, over 18.5 carries. Tommy DeVito, baby! Under half a touchdown pass. Saints, first half team total under 9.5. Jameis Winston, over 35.5 pass yards. And we got the NBA graphic here. A lot of people are going to be what? We're bringing up the ratings for this Pacers-Sixers game tonight, John. I like the over 27.5. I like Embiid to go over 29.5 points. Mellor likes George, over 17.5. Siakam, over 2.5 assists. And Kevin Durant, over 3.5 assists. 50 minutes. I will be in a dentist chair, John. I have a dental appointment.
Does your dentist talk to you while they're cleaning your teeth?
A little bit. They have the thing, though, that's up in the ceiling so you can watch TV.
Oh, I don't have that.
Which I really like, which is really cool. But I do that. Everyone does that dumb thing where I'm about to go to the dentist, so I'm going to floss and brush my teeth and try to trick them. That's like you're bringing your car to get worked on, so you decide to go to the car wash beforehand or something. It makes no sense.
I don't even know if I want to share this, but I have a friend who does the complete opposite, and he's like adamant about it. He goes and gets a slice of pizza, then goes to the dentist because he's like, they're about to clean my teeth. And I was like, oh, that's being an asshole. Yeah, you're like the only person I know in the whole world who does. Everyone is like, brush their teeth 3 times, floss like 3 more times, like you're trying to put on a show type thing, right? So he's the only person I know who does that. I think it's so weird.
I'm going to go crush a sleeve of Oreos in the parking lot and wash it back with some Coca-Cola and just go in there. Could you imagine that? I would be asked to leave. Yeah. I would not want my business.
That affects Darren's question there on the over-under on cavities.
It's got to be under.
It's under? I'm an under too.
0.5, baby. I can't take care of these pearly whites. I only got one set left, man. So you got to take care of them, right? Okay. Fun week here. On Before You Bet, hopefully we will finish strong. A lot of winners tonight and into the weekend. Great big week coming up tomorrow or next week on the show. Bowl season kicks off, so we're going to be all over that, all over the NBA Cup Final here next week. And NFL, a lot going on, some Saturday games next week. So we're going to be all over everything to close out 2024 here on the show. And I will remind you, thank you to producer Mick for putting this in the live chat. If you guys missed it, a college football playoff preview, a very efficient 20 minutes. It is myself. It is Brad Powers. It is Jake Butt, kind of getting a couple different perspectives on their picks for the overall winners, some long shots that they like, some opinion on the first round matchups. That is on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. If you like the show, if you watch us every day, and if you are not subscribed, come on, throw us a bone. Hit that subscribe button, baby. It makes me and John look good and producer Mick as well. Okay, let's leave it at that. Thank you to my 3 guests for joining today. Thank you to producer Mick. Did a great job putting the show together today and throughout the week. Thank you to our sponsor, BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. And thank you to all of the great viewers for tuning in this week. Best of luck with your bets, guys, and we will catch you on Monday. Let's go Lions. First half, baby. Woo!